Daniel chapter 2, verse number 43, and the Bible says, "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle," somebody say mingle, "themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave," somebody say shall not cleave, "one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." I want to talk to you tonight, preach to you tonight on this subject, the enmity of the ages. One more time, would you lift your hands and would you ask that we would have a move of God that would move things in the spirit realm tonight? I believe before we're done here, harvest is going to be unlocking some youth groups. I believe before we're done here, something's going to shift in this region. If you have faith that God's going to do that for your church tonight, for your youth group tonight, for you tonight, I want you to pray like apostolics know how to pray. Come on, open. Thank you for your hand clap, but would you pray with authority in the spirit right now? On, pray for just, I'm thankful for hand claps, and I thank God that we respond with hand claps, but I want you to pray for just a minute. Open your mouth and pray like we are apostolics that were born in a prayer room. Let's pray for just a minute right now. Take dominion over anything that would be a hindrance against this service right now. I loose the gifts of the Spirit into this atmosphere. I covet the best gift. I pray that it would happen in, through, and by love. Let faith be in operation right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray it, I believe it, and I believe I've got two or three that will agree, and it is established in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. High five your neighbor before you're seated and say, "You look better than I do." Some of y'all didn't do it. Either you don't believe it or... After the fall of man in the garden, the Lord prophetically speaks in Genesis 3 and 15, and he says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." From the fall in the garden, we see an enmity or a war that would span the tell of time until that stone that is cut without hands establishes the kingdom of God forever here on this earth. And so we see from that moment that the Lord curses the very ground that man was brought forth from. And when you look at the word curse that he used in the Hebrew, it is A-R-A-R, literally meaning curse. From that moment until Noah, you will realize that as he builds that ark and the floods come and the judgment of God comes down upon the earth, that he lands upon a mountain that is Ararat, which is A-R-A-R-A-T, meaning the mountain of the reversed curse. That's why Peter likened what Noah did unto baptism, because as he came through those waters and he landed on the other side, he landed at the place of the reversed curse. And that's why baptism is more than you think it is. It's more than you just getting wet. It's more than you just going underwater. But it is reversing what was spoken to the earth in the garden. It is a new beginning. It is a new moment for you and forever. It is at that time on the other side of that flood that you hear a very Edomic prophecy from the Lord as he begins to speak to Noah. And as he is telling him what he tells him, it sounds exactly like what he told Adam in the beginning. He says, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and his sons with him, saying, and behold, I will establish my covenant with you. And everybody say, with your seed after you. It is Noah who has three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It is Shem that you find produces Abraham, or Abram, the father of the faithful. Why does God choose Shem from Noah? Because if you look at his name, Shem, his definition is literally the name. And so you find that God says, I'm going to bring my people from the name. And so when you begin to look at Noah and you begin to look at his seed and his sons and Abraham, what you are seeing is the people of the name. And that's why you might call them Semitic people, but it's actually pronounced Shemitic people. It is declaring that they are the people of the name of God. And that's why even now when you see what is happening against the Semitic people and you see all of the hate throughout the ages that has come against natural Israel, what you are really seeing is a spirit. And that spirit is people of the name versus people that are not of the name, or Christ versus Antichrist. We are here today, the spiritual people of the name. And that's why you and I today, we do not war a warfare that is swords and spears. But the warfare that we are warring is simply a war against the spirit of anti the name. Whenever you see great persecution against natural Israel, that means somewhere in the spirit realm, it is turning up against spiritual Israel. And that's you and I here tonight. There is a war against the people of the name. You fast forward a little farther and you find in Genesis 12 and 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed. Now remember, there will be a warfare that happens against the seed of the woman and Satan. And he says, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord. And he appeared unto him. And he says, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. If a man can number the dust of the earth, so too shall you be able to number your seed. He tells Noah or Moses or Abraham, look down at the sand. And while you are looking at the sand, I'm telling you, that is natural Israel. That is earthly Israel. But then he goes on a little further in Genesis 15 and 5, and he tells him, now I want you to look up at the stars. And when he tells him to look up at the stars, he is telling Abraham, this too is also your seed. He says, if you can number the stars, then you can also number your seed. When he looks down, he's looking at natural Israel. But when he looks up, he's looking at spiritual Israel. And that's why we read in the New Testament that you and I, that if we are Christ, then we are Abraham's seed. And so you have to understand that you and I are a part of an offspring if we are in the body of Christ. We are a part of a chosen seed, of a chosen people, and that is a people of the name. Amen. Now I want to clarify something here, because there is a doctrine that I do not agree with, because I do not believe anybody is born inherently evil. I believe we are all born with a flesh nature. I believe that we are all born with a nature that is sinful because of fallen flesh. But I also believe that John 1:9 says, he was that light, that true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I believe that in one way, shape, form, or fashion, that the God that you and I serve, whether it has to be by preacher or it has to be by dream or vision, that every person will have an opportunity for the light of the revelation of Jesus Christ to turn on in their life, and they will choose this day whom they will serve. We see in the life of Judas that Satan could not have him until Jesus quit trying to turn the light on. We read in John 13:2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. The devil put a thought in his mind. James 1:13 says, temptation does not come from the Lord. All of us have thoughts that are not from the Lord, but it matters what you do with those thoughts. It matters how you act upon those thoughts. What we should do is bring those thoughts into the captivity of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As they try to exalt themselves against the knowledge, we say it is more powerful to be brought under the name of Jesus. You begin to quote the word and the ways of God. Stay with me. I'm trying to lay a foundation to get where we're going tonight. It's not that Jesus quit fighting for Judas. It's that Judas quit fighting for Judas. You need to hear me tonight. God will continue to fight for you if you're willing to fight to do right for him. I'm here to tell everybody under the sound of my voice, you're not a lost cause. You're not too far gone. You're not too far spent. You're not too far into sin. You're not too far into the world that you cannot be brought out by the blood of the Lamb. It's important that we understand this. It's important because, as I said in the beginning, that there is a war happening across the ages. It is an enmity. It is that from the serpent and the woman. And you and I must understand that while nobody is predestined to go to heaven, we do understand from that prophetic utterance in the book of Genesis that somebody is destined to have victory over the serpent. That somebody is the church of the living God. That's why Jesus said, upon this rock I have built my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I believe that rock was the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. When Peter looked at him and said, I know who you are. You're not just another prophet. You're not just a stranger from Galilee. You are the mighty God in Christ. And it is in that revelation. Can I tell you that revelation is bigger than organization? It's bigger than youth group. It's bigger than any one person. If you're in the church, God's gonna have a church, and that church will have victory. And so I need you to hear me tonight. It is not a matter of fact of whether or not the church will have victory. It's a matter of fact, are you going to be in the church that has victory? You have to make up in your mind, I'm not going to backslide. I'm not going to leave the church. You've got to make up in your mind tonight, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that there is salvation in none other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's all in him. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus.
That's where the victory's at. That's where the hope is at. That's where the deliverance is at. It is all in Him. That's why it is important that you are baptized in the name of Jesus. For Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you who have been baptized, somebody say baptized. It doesn't say into the Father, Son, or the Holy Ghost, but as many as have been baptized into, you have put on Christ. And when you have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The only way for you to get in the seed that has victory is for you to get into Christ. And the only way for you to get into Christ is for you to be baptized in Christ. Can I ask you? What's Christ's name? Jesus. Shout it like you know who He is. What's His name? Jesus. You feel that? You feel that? What did you just feel? You felt the one that has victory. You felt the one that has authority. You felt the one that has dominion. You felt the one that can heal, set free, deliver, shift, change, create. First Thessalonians 4:6 says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in who? You got to be in Christ to get out of this earth. They shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain. Where are us that are remaining? If the dead that are in Christ are the ones that are getting up, then that means that the remainder also has to be in Christ. Whether you're dead in Christ or you're alive, you got to be in Christ to get off this earth. And if you're in Him, you shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord. My Lord, have mercy. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with. Can I bring comfort to somebody with anxiety? Get in Jesus and stay in Jesus. Can I bring comfort to the depressed mind? Get in Jesus and stay in Jesus. Can I bring comfort to the hurting and the broken? Get in Jesus and stay in Jesus. Because if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed. And so you must understand that there is an all-out war to keep you out of Christ. There is an all-out war to keep you out of Christ. That's why in our text tonight it said in Daniel 2:43, whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. This is the interpretation of the dream by Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar. He is telling him about the kingdoms of the world. Somebody say the kingdoms of the world. And when he's teaching him about the kingdoms of the world, he says that the kingdoms of the world will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not cleave to the seed of men. They will try to mingle, but it cannot cleave. You have to hear that because it's very important. That word cleave is powerful when you begin to study it throughout Scripture. It says it'll mingle with you, but it won't stick to you. It'll grab a hold of you, but it's going to let go of you. What it's saying is that the kingdoms of the world will offer you a false sense of covenant. That's why in Hebrews 11:24 we learn that although Moses could have chosen to continue to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he said, I would rather choose to suffer the persecutions of my people in this world. Why? Because the recompense of the reward will be greater in the next life than they are in this one. I know I'm preaching to young people, but you need to hear me. Everything in this world is temporary. I feel my help coming right now. Everything you think you love, the materialism of the world, the humanistic mindset, and the selfishness of the world that says, get more for me, build more for me, build my kingdom, add to myself. Can I tell you, it's temporary and it's fleeting, but there is something that's life and it's eternal. It says in Hebrews 11:26, I would rather esteem the reproach of Christ that is greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. You have to understand what he had access to. He had access to the world's greatest superpowers bank. He had access to all the money he could have ever wanted. He could have lived a comfortable life all the days of his life. But he said, I would rather suffer the reproach of Christ than to have the riches of the world leave me. Can I tell you the way Paul said it to the Roman church in Romans 6:23? For the wages of sin is death. You want to know what a wage is? It's your payment. When you get a job, you get a week's wages or a bi-weekly wage or a monthly wage. He said, can I tell you what the wages of sin is? It's death. It is a kingdom that'll want to mingle, but it shall not cleave. When it's done with you, it will leave you with. You're getting a little quiet right now. You liked when I was preaching about Jesus. Can I tell you what Jesus said? In me is no sin. And so if you're going to be in him, you've got to love him with everything you've got. Says that sin tastes good for a season. It feels good for a season. But when it's done, friend, it's death that it will produce in you. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. There is something eternal when you are filled with his spirit and baptized in his name. Can I preach a temporary mindset off of you tonight and get you thinking about eternity again? Can I talk to you just a little bit about an eternal kingdom that you're a part of? I know the world preaches you only really live once, but that's a lie from the pits of hell. There is a life beyond the grave. I know the world preaches make yourself more comfortable. Add more to you. Add more to me. Make me. Can I tell you, it's not about me. It's about the mighty God who loved me enough to bind me with his blood, fill me with his spirit, and let me be baptized into his name. And so that word cleave, it's important because in Genesis 2:24, we get the first glimpse of the word cleave when God uses it in a covenantal marriage perspective. He says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. He said, it's like the covenant of marriage, and the kingdoms of the world will mingle, but they shall not cleave. They will make you feel good for a little while, but it will not cleave unto you. That's why the story of Ruth is so powerful. Because while the kingdoms of the world will not cleave to you, God's kingdom will. The story of Ruth is powerful because it's a Moabitess woman. You want to know what the Moabitess was? Can I tell you? It is a product of an incestual night with Lot and his daughters. Can I just be real on a Friday night? It's a product of sin. But that little girl, that little Moabitess young lady who had lost her husband, the Bible says in Ruth 1:14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth didn't kiss her. She clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people, unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. You're getting to covenantal language now. For where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I lodge. Your people, my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I die. There I will be buried. That sounds like covenant. Lord, where you lead me, I'll follow. Lord, what you ask of me, I'll do. Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Just make me one with you. Ruth 1:18, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded, that's what you got to get in the covenant with Jesus Christ. You have to become steadfastly minded if you're going to last in this thing. You've got to make up in your mind, trial or tribulation, hurt, bitterness, betrayal, lied on. You're not getting me out of this thing. Where you go, I go. Your people, my people. Your God, my God. Where you lodge, I lodge. My Lord. The kingdoms of the world, they will mingle, but they won't cleave. But when Ruth was willing to cleave, watch what we read in Matthew 1 and 5. And Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed of... What am I reading to you? I'm reading to you the lineage of Jesus Christ. The kingdoms of the world, they will mingle, but they won't put you in the lineage. They'll leave you dead. But God says, if you'll cleave to me, I won't just leave you high and dry. I'll put your name in the lineage. I'll put you in the family tree. I'll add you to the docket. And when you get to heaven, your name shall be written in the Lamb's book of life. Can I tell you? Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. This is more than just a service. This is more than just a suit and tie. This is more than just coming together on Sunday. We are dreaming of a city where the Lamb is the light. We are dreaming of the place where we get out of here and our name is in the lineage. Somebody shout like you want to be a part of it right now. I wish I had some parents that believe what I'm saying right now. I know the young people do, but I wonder if anybody is ready to be with Jesus. You were designed and destined for eternal damnation. But when you took on his name, he took on yours. When you took on his name, he said, I won't forget you, Dylan. I'm putting your name in the Lamb's book of life. And you have to understand there's a war for this. I said there's a battle for whose offspring you're going to be. There is a warfare happening every day that you get up, young person. Every day that you get up and you feel the pressures of the world and you think it's just something happening. It's not just a chemical imbalance of puberty. It's more than that. You are feeling the pressures of an eternal kingdom that are trying to pull you one way or the other. It's more than those things. I said it's more. You're feeling the pressures of a kingdom that's trying to pull you down. But can I tell you, you're a part of the greatest entity upon the earth. You're a part of the greatest thing. There has never been a king like your king. There has never been a president like your president. There has never been a ruler like your ruler. He is the God of it all. Now remember, I'm talking about the enmity that's after the seed. The same Hebrew word for seed is zera. It's where you get the word Jezreel from. Somebody say Jezreel. Jezreel is important because when you look at the place called Jezreel, it is literally where God sows. There was a young man who owned a vineyard in Jezreel. His name was Naboth. Naboth was approached by a wicked king one day. His name was Ahab. Ahab was coming for the inheritance of the promised and chosen seed. Naboth looked at him in 1 Kings 21 and 3, and he said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I can give you the inheritance of my fathers unto you. He said, Ahab, the world didn't give this to me. And so I won't let the world take it away. Ahab, you don't have the right name. to possess this territory. Because when we came into this land, God told us, this is my land, I'm just loaning it to you for now. And he told them, he said, divide this land by tribe. And if you weren't a part of the right tribe, you couldn't have that land. Naboth said, this is mine and you can't have it. There are the wicked kings of this world that want the inheritance that was given to you. But can I tell you, you didn't have to die for this thing. And if the world didn't give it, don't you dare let the world take it away. I'm here to preach old-fashioned grit back into this generation. This is the God truth. This is not another truth. This is not my truth. This is the truth. It's the only truth. You buy the truth and you sell it not. You get this in your heart and you don't let anything take it. You don't let your peers take it. You don't let your friends take it. You don't dumb it down. You don't water it down. You don't, my God, this is the doctrine. This is the truth. This is the way unto salvation. This but by the manipulation of Jezebel, the manipulating spirit of the world wants to weasel its way in and use the children of Belial, which literally means the sons of the devil, to manipulate their way into getting what's yours. And it's interesting to me that as Jezebel acquires this, because the manipulating spirit in this world, it wants your fruitfulness. It wants your love, your joy, your peace, your temperance, your long-suffering, your gentleness, your meekness, your temperance. It wants to take your fruit from you. It wants to take your peace so you can't sleep at night, your hope so you can't hope for tomorrow. It wants to take it away by the manipulating, seducing spirits of the age. And it's so interesting to me that Jezebel, and now remember, this is a war for seed. Jezebel, when Jehu comes riding into town, is surrounded by eunuchs. Now, I'm not going to get too plain. I'm just going to make it like this. That's men who cannot have children. They cannot bear seed. And so she has surrounded herself with fruitless men. I'm so tired of the manipulating spirit of this world. Man, I feel like I'm grabbing a spirit of religion by the nape of the neck and telling you, you can't have this generation. I feel like I'm preaching to this region right now, the religiosity of this region that wants to tell you, you don't have to contend for it. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to war for it. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to fast for it. I feel like I'm contending for generational fruitfulness in this house. You will have revival. Jezebel will not win. The spirit of manipulation shall not have your revival. The spirit of this area shall not have your offspring. It shall not. I know I'm preaching a little while on the youth service, but I'm telling this region, Jezebel won't win. Jesus said, seed is word. Jezebel's after the word of the man of God. You can't have it. Hear me. I want every apostolic young person to hear me right now. Loose your man of God in the pulpit. Please hear me. Let him preach to you how he feels to preach to you. The spirit, hear me, the spirit of offense that is on this generation. Jesus said we would be offended. You can't even converse anymore because you try to converse and you get offended if somebody has an opposing truth to you. And I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, that's creeping in the church. Pastor tries to address something and you get mad. Who does he think he is to talk to me like that? Pastors can't be pastors anymore. Student pastors can't student students anymore because of the spirit of offense that wants to grab you and say, you better be offended at what he said. He's not after you. He's not trying to hurt you. You want to know what he's doing? He's telling Jezebel, shush. He's telling the spirit of the age, hush. He's telling the kingdoms of the world, you cannot have the fruit that's in my city. The miraculous is about to erupt in this house. There's about to be miracles, signs, and wonders. Why? You're pushing against the regional dominion that's had it gripped for far long enough. Come on, worship the Lord. Something's breaking right now. Something's breaking in this house right now. I told you I haven't come to play church. I've come to grab something by the neck and say, you can't have it. You can't. Second Kings 9:32. But there's a Jehu coming. There's a Jehu coming. You know what Jehu means? It literally means Jehovah is God. There's somebody riding into town with the message, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's a student riding in to a school after tonight saying, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's a young lady going back to her P7 club, their CMI group. There's a young man that's going home. What are you doing? You're showing up, Jehu, with the message, the mighty God is Jesus and the Prince of Peace is he. You're showing up into town with the message of the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. You're showing up into town. Come on, you're going back home. And you're going to, my God. Preacher, don't you see the mega churches all around? Don't you see it? And I'm not against anybody. Please do not misunderstand me. Don't you see all the things of people that are preaching different ways and how they can build it quicker and how they can do it faster? 2 Kings 9:32. Jehu lifted up his face to the window and said, Who is on my side? Who? And there looked out unto him. Look at the verbiage of Scripture. It could have said two, or it could have said three. But when the man of God rides into town, it just needs two or three. Do you know your Bible? Because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, it knew what it was saying. He said, I just need two or three that will, but you might be outnumbered. Jezebel might have an army. But if you got two or three, fruitfulness is on the way. I said, fruitfulness is on the way. I just need two or three that'll look my way and say, I believe with you. I know my. And he said, throw her
So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and the horses, and he trod her where? Do you remember what the prophecy was from the beginning? There would be a seed that would crush, bruise the head, and it would do it with a foot. In the New Testament said, may the God of peace crush Satan under your. All you have to get is the revelation of who you are and the message you have. But I'm just saying this, and I say this with timidity but with boldness at the same time, because I'm afraid that this generation doesn't really believe the message like previous generations did. Because Brother McCoy, they would come into town and all they had was the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. But that was enough. I was recently in Madagascar, and the Richardsons, his granddad, showed up, didn't even know the language. All he had was a Bible study on the oneness of God. Found somebody that spoke English and the Malagasy tongue and just started going around with the message of who Jesus was. And I'm telling you, when I was there, I saw an auditorium filled with 30,000 people. And in one service, I witnessed over 1,100 receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? Somebody got the revelation. There might be a Jezebel that doesn't like it, but I've got the message of the mighty God is Jesus. It's the most powerful message on the face of the earth. This doctrine has power to transform your school. It has power to transform your family. I know you're going home to people that don't believe it, but preach doctrine. Naboth's name literally means fruitfulness. When they put Naboth in the ground, they didn't know they released fruitfulness in the future. When I die, to me, fruitfulness can't help but be released. The issue is you can't bear fruit and flesh at the same time. I'm trying to hurry. But we're trying to live carnally one day and spiritually the next. We're trying to shout on Friday and live carnally on Saturday. And we wonder where our fruitfulness is at, friend. Watch. The same word enmity that he said it would be enmity between the serpent seed and the woman's seed. God also said through his apostle that the carnal mind is enmity against God. What Satan is to the church, carnality is to God. As Satan resists the church, when we try to live carnally, it does the same thing to God. And we wonder why we can't have a breakthrough in our services. And we wonder why we can't walk in peace. Can I tell you, a carnal life wars against the ways of the Spirit. But if you would catch on fire tonight, I preach this with everything within me. I may not get everybody, and I probably made some of you mad already, but if I can just get two or three in here that'll go home and say, I'm going to live holy. I'm going to love truth. I'm going to preach doctrine. I'm going to live this out. I'm going to do this with everything within me. You shall have fruitfulness. Ephesians 1:19, I'm done, stay standing. 21, he's talking about how you are in Christ and how Christ here is far above all principality. Somebody say all principality. And power, somebody say and power. And might, somebody say and might. And dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that world which is to come. Everything, somebody say everything, is under subjection to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch what it says, verse number 22, and hath put all things under his feet. That's a pronoun describing the noun. Pronoun is Christ. It's talking about Christ. And gave him to be the head over all things. Somebody say all things. To the church. Somebody say that's me. Which is his. Next verse. Verse number 23, which is his. Here's my question. Where are the feet? It's not a trick question. Where are feet? Attached to what? Somebody say it. They're attached to what? Who is his body? Who is his church? You don't believe it. Because if you did, and I read Romans 6:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. We say his feet. That's not the book. The only way Jezebel's going to fall is if you become the church. I say this with love. I'm tired of church without demonstration. I'm tired of messages without impartation. I'm tired of moves without healing. I'm ready for the church to be the church. I'm ready for you to put the under your feet, under your feet, under your feet. Come on, apostolic young person. Put him where he belongs. Quit letting him live in your mind. Put him under your feet. Quit letting him live in your car. Put him under your feet. Quit letting him live in your house. Put him under your feet. Quit letting him. I've only got one good foot, so I can't stomp both of them. I'm still recovering from surgery about 3 months ago. But I just wish somebody would start doing something like this right now. I bet that's what Jericho heard when the walls come down. What were they doing? They were putting it under their feet. You don't even have to speak. You just put it under your feet. You start marching and you're telling Jericho, this is my land. This is my city. This is my revival. This is my youth group. This is my family. This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. I'm not here to hype you up. I'm here to preach to this region. Fruitfulness is here. Put it under your feet. Put it. Come on, somebody. Get out of your chair and dance like you need a breakthrough. Move like you want out. Get him out of your mind and put him under your feet. Get him out of your thoughts and put him under your feet. Come on, you feel that? That's the victory. Jehu just rolled into town. I said Jehu just rolled into town. Come on, I know there's not room for everybody, but I wish every 20 and under, 30 and under would get out of your chair right now and move, move, move. Do something. Get your feet going. This is... Come on, dance in the spirit. We used to get drunk in moments like this. Shout until you fall out. Get caught up. You can't have my children. You can't have my city. You can't have my school. Come on, this isn't hype. You're tearing strongholds down.